Nice. What a problem. Yeah. For sure.
You have the public comment note.
Yes. Oh.
There it is.
I'm so sorry. I did not want to call anything to them. Are you recording? They are recording? Okay. Good morning, everybody. It is February 25th, 2025. The Coralville Community Services District, a special meeting for the Board of Directors. We will start, we'll call the meeting to order at 10:12, and we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
The United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're going to do roll call. Director Mora.
Present.
Director Edwards.
Here.
Director Kwiatkowski. Here.
We have a forum.
Well,
Of our changing gym. Yeah. Alrighty. Can we get a motion to approve the order of the agenda?
I move that we approve the order of the agenda.
I will second that. Motion was made by Director Edwards, seconded by Director Mora. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion carries 3-0. Okay, and public comment. Let it be known that the members of the public are appreciated for taking the time to attend this meeting and provide comments on matters of district business. Public comments are subject to a 3-minute time limit, 10 minutes on any individual topic. Although no action can be taken on items not listed on the agenda, please know we are listening carefully to your comments.
Perfect. And just for the public's purposes, we do not have any general members of the public. We have Ryan Lynn, who's attending, representing the district. And to submit public comments, you can submit them to by email to board@gcsd.org. You can also use the Zoom platform and insert a comment. We'll watch for those. Or you can use the raise your hand function in the Zoom platform, and we will look to answer your hand raised at the time that we take the public comment.
All right. So we shall move on to the discussion and action items. Item number A, starting on page 26, is presentation on page 5, I'm sorry, through 26. Presentation of fiscal year 2024-2025, second quarter financial statement and review of investment report.
Okay, I'm going to share this my screen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Sorry about that. I got to get started. Today, we're going to go over quarter two of fiscal year 2025, which covers October 1st through December 31st, 2024. We'll start off with the water fund. Operating revenues are in line with the budget. The difference here, that 86%, that has to do with grant funds. But operating revenue is in line, and expenses you can see exactly on budget. 50% expense, 50% remaining. So fixed rates came in at 415,000, right on budget. Variable rates were 230,369. A little deviation from quarter one, and that's because quarter one includes summer months activity. We received $31,635 in other operating revenue, and that's for flow meters, transfer fees, late fees, and participation fees. We received $183,372 in non-operating revenue, and that is for reimbursement for the drought resiliency project, We received $91,405, $63,000 for the Irwin Water Pull Station.
What page are you on? I'm sorry.
I'm not following along, but I don't have, this is just a PowerPoint presentation, but I'm really just going over through this first page right here. And then for the water fund, we received $28,936 in earned interest. Moving on to expenses. Salaries were came in slightly under budget at $246,383, and benefits were $90,109. The cost of water in the second quarter is slightly higher than budget, and that is because the first quarter includes the summer months consumption, and it'll start to trend down now that we're in January, February, March. So we'll see those fluctuations. So we're still looking good. Utilities were $57,798, and the majority of those charges are from the Tuolumne Public Power Agency. Yeah. Other operating expenses were $264,980, and those are for our annual subscriptions and purchase of water meters, merchant fees, fuel, office supplies, and janitorial. We made these payments of $55,83, and that is for our mail and copy machines. And then annually, we have to pay Pine Mountain Lake to lease the space for the AWS location.
Oh, and they're, yeah.
It's in the maintenance yard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that bill came in. So we made that payment. And then there's no pension unfunded liability. We paid that in full in the first quarter. So you'll see that across all funds. Moving on to capital. There's a lot of activity in capital, but we spent $311,493, and it's broken down. I don't know if you want me to go through each of those, but we worked on the downtown Groveland water system, the Big Oak Flat water system rehab project, the drought resiliency project. We made a deposit for the new programmable logic controllers. We purchased the enclosed skid steer. It's from Bobcat. This purchase is split between the water and sewer. So this is the water portion of this piece of equipment. We had a little bit to the engineers for the water fill station. We bought a Hawk, I can't say that word, spectral photometer.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. Good job.
We have a
that's a water treatment device.
Okay.
It's a,
tank board drainage project. We had a little bit of engineering going on there. AWS generator repair. FEMA agreement continuing with that contract. Hydrostop insertion valve. I can't say that. This is for the Unit 12, the airport project, so that we bought this so we didn't have to shut down service to the community around the airport.
So let me just touch on those those two things. The valve had to go in. We weren't expecting to have to do it, but the alternative would have been to really tear it apart and shut a lot of people down for a while to be able to insert that, to be able to put in a valve in a traditional way. So this was a little bit unplanned. Now we had to dig this up and move this line because when it was installed back probably the 60s, 70s, it was installed in the wrong place. It was outside of our easement, which happens when you go about a project without going through all of the steps. If you're going really fast and you just eyeball it and you just do it. Many times you'll miss the place on the earth where you want to be. And so, well, that's why you pay a surveyor to come out and do construction staking and those types of things, which cost you more money. But in the long run, we had to move this because it was going to be a building was going to be built over the top of it. And because it was in the wrong place, we had to move it. The same goes for the tank core drainage project. That's in the same location, pretty much. They, when they installed the tank, they just drained it. There's an overflow and a dump. You know, basically, you got to be able to drain the tank. If it fails or you need to clean it a certain way or do repairs. And then sometimes valves will fail and it'll overflow. That water's got to go somewhere. They didn't get an easement or a drainage or anything. They basically just set it down through property that they didn't have an easement across. But I'd say they, it was, you know, whoever was working on the design at that point in time with the district.
That's in Pine Mountain Lake.
No, well, no, it's more in, it's in the airport states. It drains across okay. the parcels that the that were created just on the south side of the airport.
Okay, thank you.
So anyway, it's just kind of a bummer. Those are not things that improve our system and take us further down the road. They're things that where we're fixing a problem that occurred a long time ago. But it's the right thing to do, and we're doing it.
Was
it in the water? Yes. Yeah, we acquired an easement to put it in a pipe. So it's going to cost a lot more money than it would have had we just secured the drainage easement. But
yeah. Moving fast and not doing it right is the way Pine Mountain Lake was water system and sewer system was installed back right. in the 60s. We're moving fast and doing it however, right down that lake.
But at the time, I wonder if they also had a 4 or 5. That it would become as much of an airport community as it was, or it is, as it is, you know. But yeah. So I agree. Yeah.
I think they were hoping it would,
Matt. Would or would not?
Would.
I would think you'd have a better job. But yeah, well, if that was back in the 60s, because like when we bought our lot, it was in 86, and you know, there was no taxiway on that side at that time. We had to actually pay to, you know, but they are a portion of
everything, like,
from what I understand. Nobody else ever did.
Interesting.
But,
yeah. Well,
yeah.
I interrupted your flow.
No, you were good. Stop me at any time. And so moving on to the Water Fair Fund Shared Capital Outlay, we spent $26,104, and that is for the purchase of a 2024 Chevy Silverado to replace Truck 3. And we received a small refund from Fidelity and National Title for the employee housing. So you'll see these across all funds.
How many houses?
Just one.
Okay.
We first purchased one.
Yeah.
So any questions on the water fund? Okay. We'll move on.
Went to Roseville for a truck.
We've been purchasing most of the trucks for Roseville.
Yeah.
We bid them out. We get bids on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, you know, it's a pretty straightforward purchase.
Yeah.
But we tend to not get good bids locally, which is too bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they sell a lot of trucks, but it's not to us.
Okay, sewer fund. Operating revenue is looking good. Slight deviation of the 54% remaining has to do, again, with grant funds. Operating is looking good. And expenses were slightly under budget, with expenses at 48%, with 52% remaining. So fixed rates are in line with the budget. And so our variable rates, and again, just like the water fund, slightly lower than quarter one due to summer months. And operating revenue is, it's on budget, but it's slightly under budget, and only because the late penalty charges and fees. So $7,332 was collected for that line item. And other non-operating revenue received is $19,716 earned interest.
We like earning interest.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Operating expenses, they're in line. So salaries totaled $208,335 and benefits were $133,799. Utilities, $42,020. And again, it's mostly TPPA, electrical charges here. Other operating expenses were $165,914. And those are for annual permits, legal fees, repairs, maintenance, chemicals, fuel, and lab testing. And these payments were $395 for the mail and copy machines. Moving to capital expenditures. We spent $1.1 million. The majority of that was on the downtown Groveland Big Oak Flat Sewer Collection Rehab Project. And we made progress payments to well excavation, and we had some engineering fees there. There's also work done on the wastewater treatment plant improvements project, the sewer treatment plant on-site chlorine generators, the fund portion, the sewer fund portion for the inflow skid steer was $58,133.
That's the other half of the skid.
Well, it's, there's a percentage.
Yeah.
It's bigger than half. It's going to live mostly in the poo.
But, the brown trout area?
Yeah. But it's also used to unload barrels and trucks and do things for the water system as well.
As long as we all been on the board, we've heard every cliche about that sewer treatment plant that can be generated.
Mm-hmm.
The fund share capital outlay is $17,713 for the sewer fund.
Just as a reminder, when we call it out fund share, it's the administrative overhead, it's a portion of the administrative overhead cost that we share among all of the services. So, and each fund pays a share of it.
So the fund percentage for the sewer fund is 38%.
No drugs on the
table. Oops. What?
No drugs on the table. I'm just teaching.
Here's Tylenol.
I think Tylenol too.
Any questions on the sewer fund?
When we were talking about water, you mentioned the water fill station out here. Do we use it much? Do people use it much?
I don't believe it's been finalized, is that correct?
Oh,
there's still a little bit more work to be done.
I didn't know.
Speaking
that.
To Louie last week, but I'm not sure exactly what was allowed.
Just minor punch list items. It's in the, I think it's in the packet, or I just signed the conditional notice of completion, substantial completion notice. So there's just like a small list of things to do, and it can be started up anytime.
Okay, thank you. I'm just curious. Fire fund. Oh boy.
Operating revenue, we are at 30% with 70% remaining, and that is due to property taxes. We typically receive property taxes in the second and fourth quarters. And this year, there's a delay at the county level. They're going through some staff changes. We received it January 3rd, the payment. So right after we ended the second quarter. So we'll see those funds in the third quarter. So that's why it looks like we're under
They're in the bank.
Budget. It's in the bank. It's just not, it's timing. It's a timing issue. Expenses are 38% and 62% left to go. So we're looking good on expenses. But we did receive $171,544 in property taxes. Other operating revenue is $95,604, and this is for the rental of fire equipment during the summer months. So this is great revenue coming in.
Mm-hmm. Very helpful.
Uh-huh. And you'll see this in the mid-year adjustments. Because it's not something that we budget for, because sometimes we don't rent it and mm-hmm. sometimes we do. It's just a different vehicle. So we don't put a budget in. It's great. And we received $7,967 in earned interest.
Was they doing some work on the inside of that place, the firehouse? They've been doing a lot of work in there in the kitchen.
They got started on
the kitchen. They started the kitchen.
Yeah, talked about that.
Do they have a sauna over there?
Mm-hmm. I've taken one tour. I don't think so. I've seen any built for it.
That'll be a subject that I'll bring up during our meeting.
Mm-hmm. You brought it up once. Yeah, we talked about it before.
Yeah.
We have a dry sauna. They can use it. Kind of close to put it. It's not a wet sauna.
Salaries and benefits were $16,709. We received the CAL FIRE Schedule A contract expenses for both quarter one and quarter two in this quarter. Utilities were $4,595, and we will be splitting that and be reimbursed with the county.
Can we split the utilities 50-50?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So. And I just had a nice meeting with the fire chief and we went over all the expenses. So
how many county firemen and how many GCSD firemen do you have over there?
Well, it's a minimum of two and two.
Yeah.
It's not unusual to have three under the county agreement and then our two. So and you know, obviously those will be evening out in the future because it will be really on at all times. So yeah, we proposed in our amended contract that has not received any feedback yet that the utility costs would be split proportional to the staffing level. We'll see how that.
Yeah.
We'll see how any of that goes.
So we only have two firefighters over there.
Mm-hmm. That are on duty. 24/7.
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. But that, again, that's any new agreement with CAL FIRE has three.
Right.
On minimum. And three is really a minimum number because they just can't do anything with two.
No. Okay.
So anyway, that's coming up. So that those, the cost of that contract will be increasing in the future.
Thank you.
Lease payments, $52. And we spent $24,088 on repairs and maintenance, fuel supplies, and janitorial. We spent $2,331 in capital. That is only for the fire fund's share of the purchase of the vehicle. There was no firehouse loan project completed, and we'll be talking about that in the major budget, but there's no expenses for this.
On the floor.
Subscription and internet fees, is that like the television set?
Uh-huh. Well, that Dish Network goes in there, internet. I'm trying to think of what other subscriptions they have. I can pull on the floor and go into
that's
it.
Okay.
They have fiber. They have fiber internet.
Fiber optic lines and the VoIP.
Mm-hmm. For the phone. So that's, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that was like $400 a month.
It's up to $600 a month for those now.
For what?
For the fiber optic internet lines and the VoIP phone lines. They were having issues. I was talking to Steve in IT about it because I wanted to really know what I was talking about when I was talking to the fire chief. So we signed that contract. We got the fiber optic lines last year, and we're in a contract for 2 years for that. And so it covers the firehouse. And if we need that internet for our movies in the park, we'll stream off that too. So it has a signal that we can stream at the park. But it's mostly just used for the firehouse. So we split that with the county.
Cool.
Yeah. But off the top of my head, I can't think of any other subscriptions, but I will pull a report and I can all email to you at the end of this to everyone.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So any other questions on the fire fund? We're going into park. We're right on budget with revenue. And expenses are running over budget, and that is mainly due to utilities. We have such a small budget. And utilities is reaching
water,
mostly water, basically.
Yeah. Not a lot of power consumption.
No. So just like the fire fund property taxes, we received a majority of the property taxes in early January, so it's not reflected in here. But total property taxes is $14,917. We received $1,055 in the use fees and dog park permits.
How often do we get the property tax payments?
So they kind of trickle in throughout the year, but we get two major payments, and that's usually in December, and then they, I would say May, because they're pretty much due April. They have to,
right.
And then there's reconciliations coming in, plus if people pay off late payment, we get smaller payments really continuously throughout the year, but two major ones. Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's see. We received $429,220 in non-operating revenue. The majority of that is reimbursements for the Clean California local grant for the Groveland Asset Rehabilitation Project. We received cell tower rental fees. We received almost $12,000 for a reimbursement from TCTC. And that was reimbursing us to apply for the phase two grant application for the Hetch Hetchy Railroad Trails project. We received $1,596 in donations and $3,879 in earned interest. Okay. Salaries and benefits, we received we expense $14,917. And here's the utilities, $17,961. And this expense mainly had to do with the water line break when they were working on the park project. And then there was also a sprinkler timer malfunction that they fixed. So they got that under control, but it increased our utilities quite a bit. $110 in lease payments and other expenses of $14,031 for janitorial repairs and maintenance and movies in the park and dog park expenses.
That dog park is really popular. It's a lot of administrative work. It's just, you know, because it's direct customer contact and conversations and everything else. This month was a little bit extraordinary. Mm-hmm. but it's definitely a great service.
We received notice about a week and a half ago that somebody brought their dog in the dog park and the dog tested positive for cargo. And so his vet advised him to contact anyone the dog had been in contact with recently, and then it turns out he had not registered as a member, so he had not given his vaccinations. We require, you know, the application, payment, and the vaccine records, and so he didn't provide any of that. And so we just had to remind people that we do our due diligence, and so we ask that they not share the code. And it turns out with this happening, because we closed it for about 5 days, I think 4 days.
But you got a lot of calls about that.
We did, and we got a lot of people who have been going that turns out weren't members at all. So mm-hmm. This was a good just reminder for people. But the guys did sanitize it twice thoroughly and got it reopened before the weekend.
It's not free. I mean, it costs us money to maintain it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're trying to keep the dogs safe, you know, by confirming.
It's rare.
So people share the code with other people and let them just come and go. That's really realizing that.
Well, I talked with a fellow board member from CSDA that was the president last year, Lynn Magner, and she was a longtime director on the Pleasant Valley Record Park District down in Camarillo. Mm-hmm. And they have, what'd she say, 53 dog parks?
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's not unusual when you have a new subdivision. I'd say this for the county's purposes. You have a new subdivision of land. You've got 9 parcels, 13, 15, 20, 100, whatever it is, that you have them dedicate a piece of ground that is then used as a park, a dog park, or whatever it is.
The people park and the dog park.
Yeah, people park and dog park. Anyway, so, and none of theirs are membership. So they don't gather any of the information. They're just open to the public. Probably because it would be impossible to police it with that name. But so it's been, and when you look at the American Kennel Club guidance on dog parks, the first thing they say is look for dog parks that require a membership and where you pay a fee. Mm-hmm. You know, because those are the ones that would have a degree of safety for your dog.
What is the fee?
It's $25 for the first two dogs, and then after that, it's $10 for each additional dog. Which for the whole the calendar year.
It just it's not a fee. It just covers the administrative effort. We are looking at a different lock system. They're not perfect. Somebody could throw their dog over the fence and climb the fence or whatever.
Yeah.
But a lock system where it's a code tied to a person. Instead of one universal code for everyone, so that they've got a key fob. Well,
three people are typing in 6432, you can kind of get the guy who's registered for that number.
They're simple, they're a few $100s, and then, you know, we have to invest a few $100 in the tags, but when they get their membership, then they get a basically like a gym fob, you know, or a little thing, scan, and then doesn't mean they couldn't give it to someone else. But,
sure.
But
it's funny they went half an hour away from each other three times, you know, or something.
Yeah. back to back.
So
that's what we used to do that with the gas carts at the beer distributor. The drivers had gas carts. Well, when the driver shows up and I get the bill and I'm looking, he filled up his truck with diesel at this, you know, 6:05 in the morning. And then he filled up his car with regular at 3:02 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get to fill up their cars in the afternoon to go home. Mm-hmm. They have to provide their own gasoline.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious.
We need to scam at people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, capital expenditures. We spent $453,607. Majority of this was the finalizing the beautification project. So we spent $439.55. This was paid to the contractor Merritt & Sons for the remaining construction portion of the project. We bought signage and we had some engineering charges for reports and construction updates. And then we also had the Hetch Hetchy Railroad Trail project, phase one. We spent just under $10,000, and that's from Provost and Pritchard, our consultants, for the PAED portion of the project. This is something that we also have a grant for, and I submitted this week reimbursement.
Yay.
We finally worked out this project. It was a little troublesome. They had assigned it to as a county project and not only County Transportation Council. So it took a while working with Caltrans to get it into our name and into TPTC, and we need it this week. Well, it was done in January, yeah. But we finally got it all finished. We could submit our invoices. So.
Yeah, that's I have to give Michelle some kudos on that, because that was something I was pulling my hair out over trying to figure it out. We didn't have a consultant on board. I was trying to learn the 1,500 pages of Caltrans guidelines on how to run these, and you know how to run these projects, and you almost have to have an engineering degree and another degree in finance, maybe to be able to understand their requirements. And so anyway, Michelle picked it up, worked on the progress reports, got those going, and then stayed with TCTC and our friends at Caltrans to get where we are today. That is a big accomplishment, because we're, as soon as we see that check, we're going to celebrate. I'm going to take her out to lunch. And then we're going to have, you know, then from then on, it's a matter of just documentation, submitting invoices. And
I'm going to start doing it monthly, so we can, every expense that goes out, I want to get the funds back in. So keep up on that.
Very good. Have you heard anything about the
Oh, it's still same. Isn't it? It's down. It's a couple, I think. Okay.
It's not specifically separate on the agenda.
Okay.
It's we're still working on it.
Okay.
And the fund share is 466 for the parks portion, and they are at 1%. So 1% of the total expenses. Any questions on the park?
What's it, 1%?
The capital fund share outlay.
Okay.
So they total, you take total expenses, which is the third column, mm-hmm. and times it by the 1%, and that's the fund's portion of those expenses.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a balancing act that we do, you know, between water, sewer, fire, and park.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, some districts will spend a bunch of money to have a municipal finance, a professional firm come in and do an analysis and come up with a way that you apportion those costs out. Like myself, you know, our office staff, the board costs, all of those are overhead. They benefit each of the services by an amount. What is that amount? You know, we use customer account for water and sewer to split it. And then with fire and park, we look at an average of how much, what is our level of effort in each of those services. Like for right now, if I really was looking at I was looking at fire and the amount of time that I've been spending on that, it would be much more than 5%. Just because the time, you know, that I spend with the board, the time that we spend mm-hmm. in planning that is much more than 5%. But some years, it just cruises along without an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with the park. You know, before we started the park improvement project, there was very little effort with the park before we did movies in the park. So mm-hmm. those numbers may be adjusting at some point, mm-hmm. but I don't see a real big need right now.
Before we leave park, this is totally off topic question, but I've noticed several times when I drive by and I've meant to kind of look at what there's a sign on the one restaurant or the restroom that faces the highway. Is it in op or do
we
know what the sign
we means? We had planned to do it anyway to shut the two extra restrooms down during the time.
Okay.
It just saves on cleaning cost.
Yeah.
Not a huge savings.
I hadn't even thought it might be just that. But
that's all it was.
Yeah.
Okay. This cuts the cost down. As soon as the buses start back up.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to get in? Well, I guess so. Anybody can get in right now.
Yeah,
get
the reservation is as well.
There's nobody at the gate.
Right, right.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yes, it could be an interesting
mm-hmm. Here we have the quarterly treasury report. Something I want to point out. The park funds does show a negative balance. This is just a timing issue. It's, again, our smallest budget. On the 3rd, we received property taxes, and on the 6th, we received our refund from Caltrans. So
these are quite large. If you were.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jen.
But
16, 15.
Yeah. And the earned interest for calendar year 2024 was $312,108. We received quite a bit of interest.
I look forward to my Monday morning message from Michelle on the status of the investments.
Every morning I track interest rates for California Class, and I compare them to Mechanics Bank to see where we should, if we need to move funds or whatnot, because interest rates are going down, and we're trying to just make the best of it and
sure
really accrue as much as we can. So I watch that every Monday and I send it to you in the email. And I have a chart and a graph.
Imagine that.
So we are on top of it. Yeah. So yeah.
Well, because California Class operates really on a dynamic basis. It's continuous It's not like LAIF and some of the bank funds where they even it out and smooth it out over a long period of time. They're moving stuff daily. And so it can be a change in interest on a daily or weekly basis that you need to be watching closely. So anyway, but that's a, we're really proud of that number. That is, you know, a third of $1 million is, we were earning just what, maybe 1% before? Something like that. Out of LAIF, so there'd be a quarter
Leak
of that.
Is very less. Low. We have minimal funds in there. I think it's right here, $42,725. But that is the interest rate says 4.62.
It's gone up.
It does fluctuate a little bit. We don't make much money on interest there. We just have the funds in there to kind of keep the account open because we have to do more move it back to. So it's there. Any questions on the treasury report? Or any questions on the quarterly report?
No.
Very well presented.
Always.
Excuse me. I have one quick question. I think I missed it.
Oh.
Hi, everybody. There.
Hold on, Ronnie. Ronnie, hold on. One second, Ronnie. Sorry.
We gotta crank you up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Barely.
Okay. I just had a quick question. I think I missed it. The one third of $1 million of interest was earned in a year or in a quarter?
Fiscal year 2024. So from January 2024 through December 31st.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Good job.
Ronnie, I don't think you, this is Nancy, I don't think you were on last meeting.
And I missed.
I gave you kudos from Nina Job. We had our PMLA dinner thing and whatever, and happened to sit by her. And so we were just talking about just things, how they're going. And she was talking about how it's just amazing how good the feeling is about GCSD overall in the community anymore. And she's sure that is attributed to that Ronnie Lynn, who is a social media person. She thought that was probably the best investment this district has ever made.
Oh, bless her heart. I like Nina a lot. She's a sweetheart. She's definitely a cheerleader of the district. I've had some really sweet conversations with her. And she's got your guys' best interest at heart. And I know she shares with everybody how excited she is about this team. So thank you, Nancy. That's really sweet.
Sure. I figured I told everybody else about it, but I thought it'd be nice for you to hear it from the horse's mouth, maybe in the horse this time. So
thank you.
She's a very active, interesting person.
She is. Mm-hmm.
She keeps a lot of little balls.
Yeah, in the air.
Yeah. Okay. First one. Oh, okay. So we're done there. All right. So that was item A. Item B, which is starts on page 27, is the review of the Groveland Community Services District, California Employees Retiree Benefit Trust, CERBT.
Yep. And I'm going to share my screen again and pull this report.
While she's pulling on this, the board in 2014 voted to participate in this trust, and the reason was because there was a trend in public agencies to be providing post-employment benefits, medical. To employees on retirement, that has since been that trend, not only the trend, but the district's action does not provide for retiree medical benefits anymore. But during the time that we were offering that, certain retired employees and active employees are included in that mix of people that are going to get that benefit. And there's a cost associated with it. both, you know, the ongoing costs, for example, the employees that are currently employed, which there are just a couple, I think three, we're paying for their medical now, but we have to plan financially for their medical on their retirement. You know, just because it's not an operating, a normal operating expense, it's above and beyond, so we have to think about that. That's what this was. That was the board's action to create it. Now you go.
Yeah, so great. Thank you. That's nice. So we entered the trust, like you said, in 2014. And I just wanted to show you, and I will bring this to you quarterly if this is something you're interested in. As long as I receive it on time, I'll bring you the most updated one. So I wanted to go through here and show you our valuations. So as of right now, our total OPEB liability is $1,219,000. And our assets in this fund, this trust, is 1.29. That sounds weird. $1,290,000.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we have, we're funded status 106%. So we are funded above and beyond what we need by 70,000, which is a great feeling. So we no longer, we don't contribute yearly to this fund anymore since we're fully funded. And they take these funds and they, why can't I talk today? I'm so sorry. They invest these funds, and there's three different strategies. Yeah, I'm so sorry. I'm like looking at it. They have three strategies. We are in strategy three. It's the lower risk of all of the portfolios. And let me go down a little bit more, and I'll show you.
Yeah, do we actually pay for a subscription to medical for these retired employees, or do we reimburse them for?
So we do pay. We use SUSE insurance, and monthly I pay retired benefits.
Okay.
So we pay their monthly premiums, basically.
Okay.
Their Medicare supplement or their
okay
insurance or whatever they're on.
Yeah,
and you get notified when they pass away.
Yes. Well, I believe SUSE gets notified. I haven't seen anything come in to me, but SUSE always has it updated. So,
who?
SUSE Insurance.
Oh, the insurance company.
The insurance
okay.
company. Yeah.
Okay. This coverage has like the new
yeah. Yeah. So our initial contribution to this fund was $69,538. We continued making contributions till 2018-19 of $885,000. The expenses on this was $7,423, and that's what CalPERS takes to manage our funds. Our investments are basically interest earnings is $331,133. So another good interest earnings there. So total assets, $1,278,666. And our annual rate of return is 3.94%.
Now, is that a fund you move around or does it just stay somewhere?
No. So we can change it. Annually, you can choose between strategy one, two, or three. I was looking back through some of the history documents, and the district chose strategy three, the lower risk, from the beginning, and I haven't seen any movement from it. We also have not taken any disbursements, so this fund just continues to grow. We haven't put any more funds in, but we also haven't taken any out. I have been in contact with one of the representatives to learn more about that process, because basically I can submit invoices. I believe, I don't know if I have to do the invoices, but I can pull funds out and put it in our general fund to pay for the retired medical benefits. So I want to find out more about that,
mm-hmm.
how long it takes, what paperwork they need.
Mm-hmm.
And that would just help us with our general fund and our expenses yearly.
Yeah, ideally, if we had the cash to be able to pay that and not draw it down, if it was doing well as far as its investment and, mm-hmm. and growth, we would wait until we were absolutely certain that, you know, we were, let's say we're 200% funded for what was remaining. Then it would be no problem at all to draw it down, and without any concern that if the investment tanked, that we wouldn't have enough money to pay for it. So we just keep an eye on it. But there's one thing that we just don't, we know how to put money into it, but we don't know how to take money out.
Yes.
Or when.
What is our general fund?
Our general fund is for our general expenses, for all the operating revenue, and
for all the funds. Okay.
Water, sewer.
Okay.
And then we also have the Davis Rimsky, but that is not general fund. That's separate. This chart here just shows our initial investment. We take it to the top. Contributions, disbursements, gains or losses, fees, and then ending assets. So I believe they opened this trust in 2006-07, and if you look down here, we joined in 2013-14 fiscal year. In 1920, you can see we stopped making contributions, and it just continues to grow until we are at 12/31/2024. We just wanted to bring that to your attention today, show you where we're at.
Sure. Yeah, we've never seen this before.
The representative who I spoke to, he said that he does make presentations to board. So if it's something that you're interested in, he'll go over this fund, basically what we talked about, but he'll talk more about their investment strategies. So it's something they do.
It was perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So we just wanted to bring that to you. I will include that, like I said, as I get it in my quarterlies. We can go over it. I'll just supply it so you guys have an update.
Okay.
Whatever you prefer.
Yeah, that's cool. Is that whole section?
That's the
certain.
So there's no action today, just.
So then we're going to move on to item C, which is on page 34. Oops.
That was on the budget adjustment, right?
I should have.
I'm sorry, what?
She referenced it.
It's on the next item.
Yes, I kind of have not looked at the other two either. It's checked to see if we had any public comment that we don't have. Okay, so then we'll move on to C.
Yes.
Okay. Adoption of a resolution approving a mid-year 2024-2025 budget adjustment to include non-budgeted items previously approved by the board. The addition of modifications of the capital outlay project schedules and operating expense adjustments.
Mm-hmm. That's a mouthful.
I know. Yeah. Sorry about that. So before you today is going to be our mid-year budget adjustments. We start the budget process after the third quarter is completed. So I started this process last April. And we use estimates to determine where we think we're going to end the budget, and we determine the next fiscal year's budget based on that. So the budget was adopted in June, and after 6 months of this current budget, I went through and just went through to make sure we are on track. And these adjustments will account for any overages or underages on each line item. So some common adjustments I wanted to talk about, they're going to be relevant through all the funds, and then we'll look at each fund individually. So we're going to have a decrease in revenue and associated capital expenditures for the purchase of the second property for employee housing, as we don't think that purchase is going to happen this year. Interest rate revenues have decreased. That's due to lower bank interest rates and reduced bank balances. Salary and benefit savings will be an administration budget and have resulted from one employee that's on leave. So we'll see some negative impact there. We have an increase in the operations budget to accommodate the MOU provisions And those include on-call pay, the uniform pay, and the 2.5% PERS cost share agreement update. Those were board approved, and I made the notations next to each of those items. In the capital outlay fund share, there is some savings from property and equipment that came in under budget. And included is also the Bryce Consulting salary adjustments that we went over and reviewed at the last board meeting on February 11th. And we also had a request for a wide format document scanner. That is to digitize and preserve the property files and engineering drawings. So you'll see that under the capital outlay for each of the funds. So I'll share my screen. You have it. It might be easier for you to read each all these adjustments on your page, but I want to just put it up on the screens for the audience. So let me share.
Are you going to attachment A?
Attachment A.
Okay. So that's attachment A, page 38.
Thank you. Let me see if I can make this bigger.
The if you go to, where's the Zoom menu?
On ours or Michelle's?
On the on that screen. Okay, if you go to view and then where is it?
Oh, here.
Can't you just enlarge the screen?
Yeah, and then focus on content, which should be
full screen.
Full screen. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can you read that? I try to make it bigger. Am I?
I've seen people drag down after. I think you hit the smallest one. There you go. You minimize it. That's it. And you can.
Perfect. Well done.
We're just right up time.
Yeah, just all...
Look at
yeah.
The teamwork.
Okay. I'm
yeah.
not going to go through each line item, but I want to kind of give you the highlights. But we can stop at any time and talk about any line item that you would like. So in general, the water fund, we need to increase the budget by $133,343. And that is driven by the decrease in revenue and increased expenses for water rate study, subscription services, legal services, utilities, and capital expenditures for projects that went over budget. We also had to replace some equipment, and it's also going to account for some projects that we are not going to complete this year. So there's going to be a decrease in revenue of $165,502. I do want to point out we did receive additional funding of $25,000 for the water fill station. That project has gone over budget. They just pledged another $25,000. The difference here, you can see it's $14,000. It's to adjust for where we ended fiscal year 2024. Also, we are going to receive $55,000 reimbursement for the Big Creek turbine pipe. And I have an offsetting expense in the capital budget. Moving to expenses, increase of $91,442. On the right, you can see the items that were already board approved. And then we did have some increases in subscriptions, memberships, the water rate studies going on, utilities, and tunnel shutdowns.
We've got for disclosure purposes, we've had a fairly significant increase in legal services, legal fees, partially going through things like the employee handbook that has not seen had legal review maybe in more than a decade for sure. And so that was relatively expensive. We had the lawsuit that was filed related to the development project, and just a lot of interaction. I know I'm focusing on the water budget here, but just in general, you know, as it came to encroachments and where we're having to force people to take encroachments off of our sewer line. That requires legal review and legal discussion. So it's just a kind of an unusual year, and hopefully that doesn't continue.
Mm-hmm. You'll see that the legal fees across. Here's capital outlay. So we did remove the excess budgeted for the enclosed skid steer that came in under budget. The tank for drainage project, we did have some work started, but we're not going to finish that project in this fiscal year, as well as the Versa 2 building. So we removed those projects to help offset some of the overages in the other projects. And under the fund share, you can see the decrease in expenses, and those are for the items that came in under budget and the employee housing that we're not going to be purchasing this year. And then
so in reality, in the bottom line, the revenue is decreased from the budget by 165,502. The expenses are decreased from the budget by 32,159. And so when you add those together, and we have a fund balance decrease of 133,343. Mm-hmm.
Any questions on the water fund or any line item?
Just because you mentioned the housing. So we've got the one house purchased, mm-hmm. and then we don't have anything else in the wings right now.
No.
Is the one house occupied?
No, not okay. Right now. It's not occupied, so I don't see, and I don't think we're going to be purchasing the second building before June. So I'm returning the funding for that and reversing the expense.
Yeah, we're just not what we're running into is the amount that we have to charge in rent to cover to meet the IRS amounts, mm-hmm. So that it's not considered income for mm-hmm. someone, because I think it was like $1,800 a month, which it's not all that bad, but the long-term rental inventory is increasing slightly, and we're just not getting any bites for employees.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not the employee pool out there right now. It's not a lot of mobile people at that level. We're considering, whether it's possible to use it on an on-call basis, where somebody could move in for a week, mm-hmm. do their on-call and be close by. Mm-hmm. Can't necessarily force it. We probably could. If we did force it, then it would become a situation where the IRS rules don't apply because we're requiring them to stay locally. Mm-hmm. So we've got to work through it. We don't want to step in a hornet's nest and make a whole bunch of employees mad. That they have to leave their family for a week, but at the same time, there might be some people that couldn't be on call before that could now, and it would increase their pay, and they may want to be away from home for a little bit.
What's the distance these employees are away from the district? How far away do they live?
Some
live in Oakdale.
I'm sorry.
I think the farthest is maybe Oakdale.
Yeah,
just one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sonora
area.
Okay.
Hopeville.
Okay. Thank you.
So right now we don't see the need for the second. Any questions? Moving to the sewer fund, we're going to decrease the budget by $259,611. And this is resulting from equipment purchases coming in under budget and projects that are just not going to be completed this fiscal year. And those reductions are going to offset the operating expense increases for legal and the sewer rate study. So decrease in revenue of $160,635. Savings in salaries and benefits. A large increase is the legal on-call time, and the sewer leak study. So we have an increase of expenses of $66,644. And moving to capital, too fast. The sludge drying bed rehab project won't be completed. List stations 2 and 14 rehabs won't be done. The VersaTube building that's associated with the water that was going to be split won't be done. Small increase for FEMA. And then the fund share, those are the decrease in total purchases that came in under budget, and the wide format scanner expense for this fund. So with these adjustments, it'll increase the fund balance by $259,611.
What's the total lab coat increase for this?
I have them broken out by fund, but it was quite a bit. It I had budgeted like $2,800 for it was like $7,000. Yeah. It was pretty large increase, more than double, more than I had expected. I could pull the invoice. I don't have that because I have it broken out by each fund, and
but
that's how she
the bill.
Yes,
and we paid it already.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I just updated that line item for the exact amount that was due.
Okay. I would just be curious to know what it was.
It was in the 7,000s.
7,000s. I want to say 7,200.
Yeah,
right. But it was 7,000.
Right. Yeah.
And we didn't have that amount budgeted.
Okay.
I had looked when doing the budgeting, we had looked at prior years, and based off that, I assumed a small increase.
Yeah, at that point in time, I couldn't really tell where the heck we were going.
Mm-mm.
It seemed like
yeah.
This would be pretty predictable going forward, I think.
Yes. So you'll see that one.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving to the fire fund. We're going to have a decrease of $53,426. And that is primarily due to receiving extra revenue of $103,900 for the equipment rentals. There are some higher expenses for the fire tax measure election costs that you'll see down here of $20,000. And in the capital, we will not be completing the flooring project this year, but we're rolling forward the kitchen remodel project. When we did the budget last year, we didn't know if we were going to start it, so we said the funds would roll over to this year, so that is making that correction. That extra revenue from the rental is really the nice offset of expenses. Okay, park fund. There's going to be a decrease to the budget of $42,533. And this includes $11,812 increase in revenue. Majority of this is for the Hetch Hetchy Railroad project, the TCTC reimbursement that we spoke about the last presentation. And donations have increased by $3,300. So that offsets the reduction in employee housing loan revenue. Increase to expenses of $37,650. Some of the major thing item here is the utilities with that water line break and just the water expenses being as high as they are. We're looking at ending the year close to around $60,000, so we're increasing that by $15,326.
And what
are the donations? Donations are for the park. People send in donations. I believe we sent out a letter to the public, and we'd get $2,500, $500 donation. And it's to go towards movies in the park. They're just like a keep up with the park.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a great fundraising effort.
Yeah. Yes.
So
yeah,
hopefully those continue to come in. We don't budget those very often because we just don't know what it's going to be.
But we're going to get it out a little bit earlier this year in the mid-fall. In donation season, you know, as people make their plans to close out the year, and make donations. Had a lot of success with it in other communities. But once it catches on, people actually budget for it. And we'll make donations, and we're going to make it very easy for people with QR codes in the park. We take them right to a web page where they can put their payment information in and be done.
Wow.
You know, that's the goal would be to make it easy on the fly. And I think we'll be in the $50,000 range probably pretty soon.
Wow.
That would certainly
help.
That would help.
You think so?
Yep, they do. Yeah. All these people that are getting a free nice clean restroom on these buses, and QR code outside support the park in this clean restroom. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. All they have to do is take your phone and scan it.
I'm thinking like movies, you know, and I thought, good Lord.
Yes. Yeah. They're just a donation revenue. Then, you know, and if we could tie it to a specific thing that they could see the outcome of, you know, a bunch of kids sitting in front of a motorized screen, you know, or something, you know, it really, really helps people donate. I've had foundations from out of the area too. Somebody was on the board of a foundation and they happened to come through and and see this beautiful park, and this is still in their area. And they, it was like $60,000. I didn't even ask for the money. They just, the foundation in San Francisco.
Wow.
Gave it up because they needed a place to put it.
Tell them you have this other really great that you're working on right now.
I was thinking the same thing.
Welcome them to the
We have so many people that, and, you know, their own property here that have, that I'm sure. Given their income, they donate a significant amount. The tax burden under control, so we just need to make that linkage.
We've been looking, working with Mechanics Bank too to look at the QR codes and see how we can get those started and signage and you know, link it to a bank account and all that kind of stuff. On our way.
Yeah.
Cool. The Groveland Asset Rehabilitation and Beautification Project, there's a decrease of $70,000. This is due to the beginning year balance. When we did projections for the cost estimates from April to June, they were a lot lower. And so this is really the roll forward of funds. This project has gone over budget. This is not a savings. This is really just correcting the beginning year balance of where we ended from fiscal year 2024. Wow. So it's not really a savings, it's just a correcting of the budget numbers. So going back into the fund balance would be $42,533.
So we actually end the year better than we had estimated.
Yes.
I think now would be an appropriate time to read the public comment where we come up with this. We received a public comment that was a specific request to read it out loud. I think Megan wants to perform on this one. Right?
Give me the mic.
Yeah.
You want to read it.
We're
going to
sing it.
Yeah. Please read aloud my request for access and subsequent response during the appropriate time of the February 25th, 2025. Board of Directors meeting. This is Patricia Epp. Unfortunately, doctor appointments related to my fractured ankle preclude me from attending this meeting either in person or virtually. I request clarification of a particular line item found within item 6C, mid-year 2024 through 2025, budget adjustment to include non-budgeted items, specifically attachment A, Park Fund, line item Groveland Asset Rehabilitation and Beautification Project. And request to be able to view and understand this line item by reviewing the detailed budgeted, proposed, and increase decrease report. That results in the totals shown in the report. I look forward to learning how to proceed. Thank you, Patricia Epp. So I can provide her with all the calculations that we came up with it and showing all the expenses, revenue come in and expenses going out for the whole project, basically, when we started it. So it covers three fiscal years. I pulled all that information and I can just send that to her. But there is really no savings here. It's just correcting the budget how we ended fiscal year 2024.
So that if one might look at this sheet and say, oh, you saved $70,000, on the project cost, or you came in 70,000 under budget.
In reality, we're over budget, and it's just what happens when we do the budget really a little bit earlier before, you know, the year end is closed.
So we have to estimate what's left in the work, what we've already purchased and paid for, what we're still outstanding to receive, what reimbursements we've received, what, you know, the retention. There's just all sorts of
juggling acts
of calculations that come into that. And it probably would be a good agenda item, just because there are some public interest in it.
Sure.
To just have it separately and talk about the total revenue and the total expenses. Because I know that we use maybe 100,000 or more of the park fund balance to finish the project, just because the construction costs came in so much more than we had estimated. You know, I said it's been 3 fiscal years, but we applied for it 4 years ago, you know, at a time when the inflation was not the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've just seen a lot of change in cost over time.
So any questions on the park fund or any adjustments throughout?
So we'll let that know that we'll have it as a separate discussion. Maybe there are, it depends on what the timing is and when you're comfortable in pulling that together.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, just with workload and making sure that we've got everything.
And we are working on closing out the project. There are still some final checklists that Caltrans has to do. And I will be working with the engineer tomorrow to finish off their final checklist to give to Caltrans as well. So there's a lot of different stuff that still need to take place with this project. And we do still have reimbursements to be received from Caltrans. So it's not finalized, even though construction's done. And we also have signs to be delivered and installed.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all about. Thank you. Yeah.
So we have a resolution.
Okay, then I'll make this motion. What page is the resolution on the inside?
30, probably 34.
35. Okay, I'd like to move to adopt resolution 08-2025, approving mid-year 2024-25 budget adjustments to include non-budgeted items previously approved by the board, the addition and modifications of the capital outlay project schedules and operating expense adjustments.
And I will second said motion.
Okay, motion was made by Director Kulikowski, seconded by Director Edwards. Do you have any questions or comments on it? Before we vote, no, well, we already did the private or the public meeting. For comments.
I don't have any comments.
No. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say nay. Motion carries 3-0.
Thank you.
All right. And then we can move on to item B, which is on page 49, discussion of and board direction on development of updated management of the objectives which identify management actions intended to accomplish the goals of the board of directors.
Mouthful too, sorry about
that. Not really, I just kind of stumbled over.
I'm gonna run through this really quickly. You don't even need to pick up anything out of your, you know, try to follow along. You can if you've got questions or, you know, things written down, because this is an activity to have with the full board.
Yeah.
Not that you three are the most important of it, but just an understanding of really where we are, all the things we've accomplished and where we're thinking, starting to think about where we're going in the future. Such an important thing to me, to all of our staff, to make things work out. So let me figure out I need to cast.
Just curious, do you want to postpone this until you have a full board? So you don't have to do it twice, or half a time and then a full time?
I don't think I really need any. There's nothing out of this that anybody online is waiting for at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think if there's anything timely that we need to resolve. I I'm completely fine with that.
Yeah, your time is valuable, so to do it and then have to turn around and do it again.
Yeah.
Even if this is brief and that's more complex.
Yeah, I'll just save mine until the next.
So long as, like you just said, there's nobody waiting for any particular piece of information.
Yeah, I do want to have a little bit more time to meet internally with our staff and.
Sure.
And
I'd like to
the main thing that I do want to discuss out of this is that I've got to switch away from project mode and get into a support role for our finances and for the show. It's absolutely critical. I've been paralyzed just due to the level of staffing, the short staffing, and all of the things that we've taken on at one time. It's not something that I can just grab a consultant from outside and have them do everything or make up the gap. I mean, when I've got 50% of my time flying out the door on 18 different projects, you know, just in reviewing change orders, contract conditions, finances, you know, contractor issues, legal issues, it sucks up my entire time. We have not been able to advance the fire tax measure. Now we have a new dimension with that, and that we're going to have to get our county supervisor to calm down and sit with us and understand some issues and to be in support of GCSD and having a presence here, because that's where we're going, is to provide a level of service here to county provide. That being said, that's, you know, that's been another 30% of my time. So between projects and just dealing with the county on development stuff, that's 80% of my time gone. At least 20% of my time to be a leader.
To do your job.
To just do the day-to-day. And I, you know, it's been impossible, you know, it's not anybody's fault. And I'm not complaining, because we're doing excellent work. You know, the mid-year budget was, yeah, you know, it's perfect, and it's everything I can ask for.
What can we do for you?
We've got some complicated issues. Just understand that we're not going to be able to take on anymore. That's the main thing. We've got some evaluations that we have to do associated with the rate studies, because if we're going to fund the, you know, $60-70 million worth of water projects and $30 million worth of sewer projects, the rates are going to be not something we want to implement. And so we've got to analyze. Michelle's done a fantastic job of getting the new software 98% dialed in. The new software program that she's got in place, that we'll be able to just look at what the cost is of adding the construction crew, and, you know, without and see how that impacts the total to the rates. And those are the kind of things that I need to be able to dive into. Those take my almost entire focus. We are wrapping up on some of the projects, so that is on its ramp down, so long as we don't get any audits for project expenses. So what can you do? Let's get a full board, let's have a conversation about it. We may have to just back off on this county stuff and just expect to go legal and everything, because right now, I don't see anything through the smoke. I can't see that there's just a complete lack of understanding.
Where's the smoke generated?
By the county.
Well, the county's a big place.
Well, the planning department in conjunction with the CAO's office.
Then
the supervisor is adding a new dimension to it, because I believe that he's trying really hard to not trust and believe in GCSD and believes maybe too much in himself and his ability to be able to get things done as a single supervisor.
That's very well stated.
I mean, it's It's just hasn't been in that political arena long enough yet to see. I believe if he asked his counterpart board members or supervisors, or if he had to answer the specific question of, is there a chance that the county is going to remove that engine after March of 2026? There's no possible way that he could say no. He will initially, but he's going to have to eat his words, and that's a big eat.
He's got this pie in the sky type of view that, oh, well, they're not going to do that. You know,
when he asked
he's been told by staff they're not going to.
He asked someone at the county questions, and he only listens to what he wants to listen to and comes back with this big negative GCSD to the point where he's almost calling Pete a liar. In public.
If you think about the initial post did not talk about the short-term agreement. We don't even have an agreement right now. Mm-hmm. If they didn't pay us, we don't have an agreement to go back on. If they didn't reimburse us, it's expired in August, and it's unfortunate.
Expired past August.
It's a short-term, one year. I proposed a long-term agreement, which got no traction. I'm meeting on it in the middle of March to talk about it, but I expect they might cancel the meeting again. I mean, and I understand they've got, changes at the top and everything, but it's frustrating because it's a logical thing. If without an agreement with the county that says they will provide funding or a station or a combination of that, we have nothing. We have no guarantee for the future. We are protecting the taxpayers. And any erosion of that by statements made by our supervisor is a lack of understanding, and it's going to become very clear. Mm-hmm. And the unfortunate thing is that clarity is going to come when that engine is gone, mm-hmm. and we're having to say, I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to even think about that point. We work hard to get here, but there's such a lack of understanding for whatever reason, and it's got to be celebrated by the county right now. They're just thinking, God, this is great. Now we got a supervisor on our side that, is supporting our agenda moving forward. And that's not a good place to be. So we've got some work to do there. We all need to be nice. We all need to just say the same thing. We need an agreement, long-term commitment that you're going to be here. Without it, we have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, by nice, I just mean, I'm not talking bad about the guy. I think he can do a lot of work, but he's got to calm down. He's got to understand the politics, and he's got to have some trust in us. Yeah, we're gonna have to build that.
It's like a tattletale show.
It's weird.
You guys well know that I don't post much on social media. It's just personally because I don't think you should. I should, I just, my view is you're an elected person and you should, the board is one unit. My opinion on this thing So that to see him spewing the stuff that he says just drives me crazy.
Yeah. I knew this was going to happen when he got elected.
Yeah.
Well, we have. I have no reason to believe that we can't sit down and have a conversation. I think that the important thing was he thinks that by us, me not talking about that, the county having an engine here right now was disingenuous. What about the fact that the county has access to millions of dollars in TOT? That is a perfect long-term voter-approved source of revenue to do whatever they need to do in Groveland, but they turned their back on it. And they let it go to the Visitors Bureau and did not even... I'm not saying that Visitors Bureau is bad. I'm just saying it's disingenuous for them to tell their supervisor that until there's a long-term source of revenue, they can't commit to it.
Mm-hmm.
They can commit because they have a long-term source of revenue. It's already there. They just refuse to recognize it. So they're being disingenuous. That's, so it's we have to work those details out. Pension loss, perfect timing. In that in the presentation, there is the board's goals that were developed back in 2018. Take a look at those, pull those out separate from everything else, and just make sure that tells that is what you mean to say. Yeah, it's buried in there. What's that?
Are you still casting? Are you in connection with
that? I think it got is the Zoom meeting still up? Oh,
yeah. It's
okay. So, yeah, it just knocked me out. I'm casting nothing right now. We're just doing.
Okay. So, am I correct in assuming that we are going to roll item D into the next meeting?
Yeah. I don't know whether we'll do it March 11th because we got a pretty busy agenda
that we're preparing for.
I would like to see when good, convenient time is to get the board together and. You know, we don't have to be doing the finances during that one. We can focus just on this.
Yeah.
And have a, you know, have a conversation so that I have clear direction on what to do. It may be that I step back on the county stuff and I would have to be asking the board, you know, to maybe designate a person or two to take the lead and we have one thing to accomplish that's an agreement with the county. It's not like a big, huge, complex thing, but maybe it's politician or board member to supervisor. Yeah, maybe it's, I'm not sure exactly how it works out. So.
Okay, so we'll just move that to a future meeting.
We will.
So then, we have anything else to discuss?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I know. I love that board.
All right, anything else?
No, it's all about the shelf today.
Joe is all about me.
Well done. The shelf might have great well job.
It's just I'm going through the packet, it's like, oh god, I can't imagine compiling all this stuff.
You know, and the thing is, she did it and still did stuff for other people. She still picked up because we have a couple people. We're a couple short, a couple top dogs. and we're wrapping up on all these projects, and she's learning the Caltrans stuff and dealing with the engineers support, working with TCTC. We had a nice meeting with them. Implementing the software that just blew my mind, that's going to make our life so much easier. And then, so anyway, it's a lot of support.
Alrighty. On that positive note, we will adjourn this meeting at 11:44.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.